At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Free cost estimate today at naturestone.com. It's not just a floor. Wow, it's Naturestone.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, welcome back aboard. Great to have you here on a Sun Splash Tuesday. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and CB. Boys, how we feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. You're right. The sun is definitely sunning. Like the last couple days around the city, I remember Saturday hanging out with the parents, walking around, wasn't a cloud in sight, walked into the building today, did not see a cloud in sight. I think we're getting high 70s. Maybe we even cross over that 80 mark today. So get the AC ready to rock and roll, big dog. How you feeling today?
Cold, wet, and hot. Here we go.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
I think the wetness might come back, but who knows?
Okay.
No, it's all good. Everything's good. I haven't swung the golf club yet. We'll see if I can. Arms starting to come back into, we'll see.
Okay, there we go.
I actually bend the damn thing now, so it's, you know, that's what a long needle will take and a little bit of anti-inflammatory, and Dr. J gets you right over
all
there.
About those long
orthopedic
needles, huh?
One. I had to look the other way. And I've, you know, taken many a blood test in my day, but I will for my cholesterol, not for what you guys are thinking. And then I would say, and I think you asked me the other day, did you look? I'm like, no, this one hurt. This one was one, yeah. Not like just a regular inoculation into the muscle. And you're like, wow, that was fine. And then 4 hours later, you can hardly hold your arm up.
Yeah.
This was like, I got about 15 minutes of freedom, and then it was.
No, I'm with you, man.
There's
no way I would be able to watch. There's no way I'd be able to watch. Like, you know, I got a few tattoos that I've been able to handle that type of pain, but there's something about
a few?
A doctor.
I think I've only seen one.
Oh, no, I've got two half sleeves and, you know, a big old lion on the back of my calf. So, yeah, I can handle that to a certain degree, but watching a doctor infuse a needle into my body is just something I've never been able to watch, even when I was a kid. So I don't blame you for looking away. I do not blame you for looking away. But, yeah, we got to get you ready to go, man, because the weather's turning. You got, I told you, trophies to defend. Damn. You got to take out Tim Hall at Mirfield again this year. Like, we got to get after it.
Timmy's too long. Too long for the field. He is.
I don't have any shot beating him.
Come on. That's ridiculous.
No way. AR's way too humble, isn't he?
It's crafty. Way too humble.
He shot like an 82.
It's crafty.
He took a cup home last year.
That's what I'm saying. We got to get him right. Timmy needs to go back to back on him. He's trying to get his UConn.
What about a jock? Did I get the jock with the cup?
You got it all.
Back in the day. Do guys wear cups anymore, Matty?
I don't.
Baseball guys? Catchers do, right?
I think it's probably catchers only.
That's it?
Like, we're in a world of sports, right, where I don't think many football players are wearing like the thigh pads and knee pads anymore. Like, you watch an NFL game, a college game, the pants are above the knee. You don't see much padding going on. I don't think we're cupping it up much in baseball anymore outside of the position you just mentioned. So dudes are, they're living a risky life right now in the world of sports.
I mean, that was standard issue back in the
really
day,
was.
Back in my day. I mean, every player had to wear, you know, right? Cups and supporters for all my players.
Got to protect the goodies.
That's
man.
It. Walter Matthau. Every player is solely responsible to determine whether or not they require a cup.
I can never do the jock strap, though, AR. I could never do that. See,
when it may have been worse than the cup. Who knows?
Well, you had, like, when I was playing baseball, you had, like, the sliding shorts, if you will. That way you avoided getting those strawberries on the back of your thigh when you would slide, right, with kind of the rocks and stuff in the dirt. That was never a good vibe when you got in the shower. But the old sliding shorts, they had a nice pocket for your cup, man. And that was still uncomfortable, though. So there was a point in time where I was just like, you know what? I'll just live with the pain if it happens. If it happens, I will live with the pain. I'm going cupless.
Quite a gamble.
But it's just, man, that adjusting that all day and just, yeah, it's not my type of party right there.
Yeah, I mean, the chafing, the running, the whole deal. I mean, there's no question you feel a lot more freedom, but take one there one time and you'll be like, man, I wish I had that, but who knows? But I don't know. They didn't really check. I can't remember them doing a cup check on everybody when
that's
I played.
But how do you pull that off?
I don't know. Maybe it was the ref. Maybe he just, I don't know. You know,
they panic.
You know, that park district wreck, ref.
Not a job.
Hey, we're doing cup checks today, boys.
Not a job I need.
We didn't. Hey, listen, back in the 80s, they didn't frown upon that stuff. It just felt. It felt normal, folks. All right, we'll get after it today. Zach Taylor will be talking to us. Not us personally, but we'll hear a soundbite from him at 12:20 on the Bengals. But Ben Brown, the NFL data scientist, will come on from Sumer Sports at 12:33, kind of identify everything going on in the NFL, especially with the draft. Joel Klatt had some things to say about Ohio State's spring game. He is the college football analyst. We'll lay that out for you in the second hour. My boy Luke Braun. Luke Braun, host of Locked On Vikes. Mm. They have the ammunition. Will they use it in this draft? And then our boy Keith Smith, the NBA contributor for Spotrac and Front Office Show, will jump on, and we will handicap the playoffs.
Yeah, man. Playoffs are here this week, and we're also going to give away a family four-pack of tickets today at some point to the 97.1 The Fan Night at the Columbus Fury game on Friday, April 19th. That is this week. If you aren't the winner, don't sweat it. Tickets for the Fan Appreciation Night are available through Ticketmaster's Fridays with Friends promotion. Head to Ticketmaster.com for more information. We will be in the building. You'll come. You'll get to see AR get his Kelsey Plum on and toss a t-shirt all the way up to the ceiling on Friday. We're throwing t-shirts out. We're playing music. We're going to be doing it all, having a good time on Friday night, supporting the women over there, playing some really good volleyball.
Yeah, it's as exciting as anything you'll see in Columbus, I think. So, well, the t-shirt gone. I wonder if they have that ready for us.
No, I don't think there's a t-shirt gun. They said they need to see your cannon, like Uncle Rico.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying.
It's Terra Rotator at Columbus Fury throwing out a t-shirt.
You remember when Kelsey Plum did that? You remember that video that came out a few years ago where she was launching that t-shirt in the crowd? Looked good, too. Smooth lefty. I was like, okay, I see you, Kelsey Plum. You'll probably remember the video if you pulled it up, but Kelsey Plum had an absolute cannon of an arm. Remember the video I'm talking about?
I don't.
Okay.
I want to see it, though.
It'll probably come back to you when you see it.
She's the one that's dating
Darren Waller,
right.
They're actually married.
That's right, because I remember seeing them in the, was it Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't know if she popped up in Hard Knocks.
Oh, no, it was a real sports story about him.
Okay.
Actually, pretty inspiring, overcoming adversity kind of guy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh, absolutely, because he was in Baltimore for a while, had some drug issues, right, and that sent him down a dark path, and then he crawled out of that, and that's amazing story right there, and turned himself into a solid player. But the Raiders kind of did him dirty, right, because he married Kelsey Plum, I think, last year, and she's obviously playing for the Las Vegas Aces, and they said, Darren Waller, congrats on your wedding, big dog. We're shipping you across the country to the New York Giants.
Tommy Brady have anything to do with that? Doesn't he own a little bit of a squad out there?
He's got a certain piece of the pie with the Aces. He got a piece of the pie with the Aces, piece of the pie with the Raiders. Tom's just out here doing it, man. You know it's my guy.
We got to check. Yeah, he is, and he might be coming back. Who knows? To a team near you. We'll find out. We'll actually kind of run down the odds on that maybe in the second hour. By the way, I love that soundbite with, oh, well, if they let me. I know I own a piece of a team. If they let me.
Listen, man.
Tom, if you want to play that badly, then divest yourself and go play.
Yeah, you don't think if you called Antonio Pierce, a rookie head coach, and say, hey, I want to suit up for you, Antonio Pierce is saying, no, I want to roll with Gardner Minshew? Yeah, no. Come on down.
No, Buck. Yeah, no, that's understandable. I'm talking about Tommy acting like, if they let me. No, pick one. What do you want to do? You want to be an owner or a player? Pick one.
He wants to get none his BOFF
this,
on,
none of
man.
This drama, oh, if they let me.
He wants to do both.
I saw this story, and it's a staggering amount. I don't think it's going to happen. As predictable as anything, is Rory not making an impact at the Masters. It's been, 10 years since he won a major, it feels like. That probably is exactly 10 years. And there was a story that was floating around London. Some newspaper said that he had reportedly been offered $850 million to join LIV.
Ooh.
And, yes, everyone listening, if you personally would take the money, that's fine. I don't know how many times you're going to get offered $850 million. But he has been, and I said the same thing about Rahm. I didn't think he would jump based on what he was telling us. But I believe this story has been vetted, and Rory has not, I don't know if he's actually denied it, that he's been offered it.
I think we got an agent on
because
it
he's been one of those guys that everyone says, oh, we hear you turned down $300 million. No, I haven't been offered anything. So I can't tell you whether this offer is real or whether he has said no to it or not. It feels like this is not real.
I've seen some things within the last hour AR, that I think the agent or some rep that's around Rory has said that this these reports are not real. There's nothing that's been offered right now that's official.
CB has uncovered Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel, who giving us the perfect source on this.
Well, Rory, there has been some buzz in social media circles and media circles that you have been offered and contemplating a move to LIV Golf with some pretty astronomical numbers. What's your reaction?
I honestly don't know how these things get started. I've never been offered a number from LIV, and I've never contemplated going to LIV. I think I've made it clear over the past 2 years that I don't think it's something for me. Doesn't mean that I judge people that have went and played over there. I think one of the things that I've realized over the past 2 years is, you know, people can make their own decisions for, you know, whatever they think is best for themselves. And, you know, who are we to judge them for that? But personally for me, you know, my future is here on the PGA Tour, and it's never been any different.
Mm. Do you have any idea of the origin of where this comes from?
No idea. I think over the last 2 years, there's been so many rumors of guys, you know, and I think, you know, you need to, you know, I think the one thing that I've realized as well is, you know, guys need to keep an open mind, and I'm sure there's been players that are still playing on the PGA Tour that have talked to, you know, the guys from LIV and had offers and whatever, I've no idea. You know, it's never even been a conversation for us, and it's one of those things. It's unfortunate that we have to deal with it, and, you know, this is the state that our game's in, and I'm obviously here today, and I'm playing this PGA Tour event next week, and I will play the PGA Tour for the rest of my career.
That's a big one at the end, because I thought he kind of meandered his way to, hey, it's not real, and there's no reason I need to comment on something that isn't real. And then he finally got to, I'm playing this tour.
When was that? Did he say that today, CB? When, that was this morning? Okay. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to wonder when that video. But you're right, AR. That is that's a statement people are going to hold on to, right? Absolutely. Hearing him say that at the end. Here's a guy that's made $140 million in career earnings on the PGA Tour. So he was never a guy that needed to make that jump. I always said when this was brought up a year or two ago that there's certain guys that don't have the endorsement deals, that have won all these tournaments like Rory has, that look at the money that LIV was offering and say, you know what, I'll take a snag at that. So, yeah, this looks like it's an absolutely nothing story, and now we got Rory on the record essentially saying LIV's never going to be for me.
We had Rahm on the record, too, the exact same record.
Yeah,
that he said that I could retire right now. I'm very happy. I've never played the game for money. I want to play for the love of the game and all. And look what he did.
Yeah.
So he did it as well. And I told you, I think the easiest decision that Bryson had was the fact that, you know, Rahm for sure got exempt from the U.S. Open through 2031, and Augusta, he plays for the rest of his life, technically. So he can have both.
Mm-hmm.
He can have his cake and eat it too.
Right.
The guys that were going to make the jump for the money, that were going to get iced out of the majors, those are the guys that had a real question mark. But the guys that were exempt, they're like, wait a minute, I can get the money and play in the majors, mm-hmm, and just kick these tour events to the side.
I'll do it.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. We'll let you hear from Zach Taylor. He's got one of the key predictors of successful bounce back for his squad. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you don't like listening to Morning Juice, Bobby Carpenter's Mad Nipples will punch you in the face.
For real.
You want to fight, do you?
Weekdays from 6 to 9.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right. Cincinnati Bengals, show back up. Let's find you again. Joe Burrow's the key. We know that. Recovering from the wrist surgery. Zach Taylor kind of provided the good news update on that front. And he's kind of praised the rehab staff Everybody's all in on Joey B. And so we got a couple different sound bites to play because we had Jay Morrison on our program last week, who's the beat reporter who covers them. And why don't we start with Jay on this? Because I asked him about, you know, are these injuries in his past? I'm not saying they couldn't happen again, but do they feel really good about these injuries, these specific injuries, not reoccurring?
Yeah, I think in the back of their mind, there has to be a little uneasiness, just knowing how much they paid him, how much he means, and how often he's been injured. But they do kind of look at him as isolated events and kind of fluky in nature. And so I think they're just kind of open on, you know, the football god smile on him. And, you know, it's just last year, all the discussion leading up to training camp was, how great does it feel, Joe, to finally have a full training camp where you're fully healthy? And then, boom, day two of training camp, and he goes down with a calf injury. So you're right. I don't know there's much you can do to plan for it except cross your fingers and keep beefing up that offensive line to try to take as much hits and sacks off of Burrow as you can.
He is, Maddie, obviously the heart of their offense. We know that. He's that good. If you really look at his injury history, it's pretty lengthy. Mm-hmm. Going back to college, had a wrist fracture back in 17, chest rib fracture in 2020, the ACL tear, the grade 3, the MCL tear grade, the PCL tear, the meniscus. We know about that one. Then, okay, dislocated finger. That seems like almost nothing. Another knee strain in January 2022, then an MCL sprain. The leg calf strain that he talked about in July of 2023, that's the one he just referenced. That was on his right leg while he was rolling out in practice. But he was good to go by August 30th, and he hadn't missed a game due to that injury. And then he re-aggravated, which is what you and I kept saying, we won't know until we know. Mm-hmm. When's that whiplash moment? Everybody, if you know, if I tell you, hey, run in a straight line there, you know exactly where you're going, and no one's trying to knock you off your you-know-what, you could do it. It's that moment where you don't see it coming, and then and your body just instinctually reacts. And then he re-aggravated. And then the torn wrist ligament in late November of last year. And that brings you up to date.
So it's definitely a thing, right? It's definitely a thing. And I know some Bengal fans probably don't want to hear it because of how great he is. And I'm with everybody on that. Like, when he's right, he's one of the best. When the Bengals can get to the finish line of the regular season and go into the postseason with number 9 upright and his weapons around him, they can beat anybody. We watched them beat Kansas City. We watched them go into Buffalo and kick their teeth in a couple years. But this absolutely is now a thing for Joey B. And the unfortunate part of this, I think, if I were a Bengal fan, is just the process of building the team and throughout the year. Is it crazy right now? Is it going to be a super unfortunate thing that's going to haunt them in the season that he's missing time right now? No, I don't think so. However, you do have moving pieces, right? We're talking about a new offensive coordinator and Dan Pitcher that's stepping up because Brian Callahan took the Titans head coaching job. You've got new weapons around him, new offensive linemen. I'm just a big fan of, no matter where we are on the calendar, if I can build any type of team chemistry, I want to do that. And here we are this week with the team coming in and they're doing some activities, and Joey B, he hasn't been able to throw yet. He's not doing much of anything when we talk about football activity. So again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not trying to blow this up and make it seem like it's a huge deal. I think when we get to mandatory minicamp come June, and then obviously beyond that in training camp, if he's not around or if he's not 100%, then you really start to sound the alarms. But at least for right now, out of the gate, these could be those critical moments that show up late in the year because of the things that we worked on back in April, the things that we worked on back in May. That way, when you get to training camp, you can chip away at more things rather than maybe starting at the ground floor. So that's my only concern, if you will, with this, outside of everything that you just laid out with his injury history, is that there are new things going on, and most importantly, you got a new offensive coordinator calling plays, and it's Joey B and Pitcher have the same chemistry that Callahan and he did. I don't know.
Is that important? From my recollection, there are only two guys that have ever ended a Mahomes season: Tom Brady and Joe Burrow.
That's the list.
And so that is he's what, 3-1 against Mahomes, I think?
Mm-hmm.
It's real. It's as real as it gets, because as long as Mahomes is still doing his thing, you need a guy like this. Now, Zach Taylor did talk about this and where he believes Joe is right now.
Yeah, you know, it's these players, again, my role as a head coach is to make sure I'm engaged with them and understand what they're going through. But at the same time, it's what they get asked every day by every person that sees them, you know, and it's the number one question I get asked in public when I'm at basketball games or whatever it is how's Joe, you know, and so that's part of it. You know, he's a big part of what we're doing. And I obviously understand the concern everybody has, but the guy has been through some rehab processes, and so he knows how to attack it. He knows how to get his body back right where it needs to be. And so excited to see, you know, what the season will bring for him.
As great as he is, right, and how great the Bengals can be when he's right, the wiggle room now around the AFC isn't the same it was a couple years ago either, when they were absolutely doing those things that you were talking about and beating Kansas City and all those things. Because you go back to 2022, and they started off 5-4 and then came out of their bye week and ripped off 7 straight wins. It's not that easy anymore. And I'm not saying they can't do that, but it's much more difficult, right, than where they were a couple years ago. So it's just so important that he is able to do everything needed, I think, over the next 3, 4, 5 months to get ready for the season. That way they can hit week one and not have questions about how's he feeling, are we behind, is he rusty, and all the conversations we've been having the last couple of years. Because if they can do that, then a lot of defenses are going to have problems this year dealing with this offense.
Yeah, he doesn't want to make a habit out of being the comeback player of the year.
Right.
Like, that's not something he wants to do. What makes him different, aside from his great talent, and they all have talent, but are the intangibles of what we hear everybody say about him. And everybody says it. And I'm not talking about fans or media. I'm talking about defense coordinators, not people that play for his own team. His own teammates, of course. Yeah. That his dedication, his work ethic, his leadership. It's unbelievable.
His confidence, too. People got to be feeding
the
off
swag.
That. You can feel it, yeah. Man. It's real.
Well, and it's one of those reasons that when he was coming out, people did those comparisons to Tom Brady, and it was like, slow down, slow down. Like, yeah, we're slowing down because, of course, comparing him to maybe the greatest to ever do it is probably putting expectations on him that are unfair. However, it was more of the characteristics with the talent that people were comparing him to. Sure. Brady, of everything I just said. Spagnuolo did it. He compared him to Brady. So these are guys that are paid to try to defend him. And so the Joe Cool, the Joe Burr, the whole thing.
Shiesty. Don't forget that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty good too. Joey Franchise was the first one I liked. All right, we'll talk to Ben Brown about where he has the Bengals slotted in the AFC next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your Heritage Sports Talker and home of Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Both of these guys wear baseball hats every day, and it's because their hair is sewn into them. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back in. Our friend Ben Brown, NFL data scientist, Sumer Sports, is with us now on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Ben, welcome back.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Yeah, definitely always a pleasure. Looking forward to the draft coming up next week here.
Yeah, that will be exciting. I'll take you back a little bit before we do that, because free agency... the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, Mixon goes away and they add Zach Moss. Now, we know this thing centers around Joe Burrow and Chase and Higgins, and they did add Mike Gesicki. I'll get your opinion on that. But I want to start with this question about whether Moss is he a really solid replacement for Mixon, or will their running game be questioned this year going in?
I definitely think it's still going to be some question. Obviously, I think Zach Moss was a guy, you know, especially at Utah, had a lot of carries already under his belt, was kind of like the focal point of that offense, and then really didn't stick in at the NFL level, I would say, until his last year. So I would say going into next season, fully relying on him after one performance over the last four seasons, where I think there were some definite misses on his end as well. I think it would be a loss to me. I know they have Trayvon Williams on the roster as well. I think Chase Brown's a guy that definitely showed some pop and ability last year, but I still think it's some sort of running back room where you probably at least want to add at least one veteran guy. I know Brown kind of gives you that speed mentality, but I would be looking for somebody to complement Zach Moss a little bit better from a speed standpoint to really round out that backfield, I would say, for the Cincinnati Bengals.
I want to kind of follow kind of some breadcrumbs here, if you will, with Brian Callahan leaving the Bengals and going to the Tennessee Titans. I just want to get your thoughts on their all season. Like, I haven't heard much about them. I know they made some splashy moves with their names, but I haven't seen too much conversation around Tennessee and what they could be this season. Your thoughts on Brian Callahan taking over down there for them and some of the moves they made all season that you think could be really impactful for them?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at and when I talk to other people at Simmer Sports, it's definitely a place where, you know, guys like Eric Eager and Tate Sheff have kind of already built the narrative for how the Tennessee Titans can be really successful in the AFC South relatively quickly. And I think, you know, it does kind of start at the top. Obviously, their GM, Rand Carthon, like, really does embrace the analytics side of things. I think question of where they're at on field very much kind of starts and ends with Will Levis, you know, at the quarterback position. But they did kind of already bring in at least some, you know, auxiliary pieces. They're a team that, like, hasn't really drafted whatsoever. You know, the wide receiver and has kind of tried to get this retreat pre-agent or trade option. You know, once again, kind of bringing in Calvin Ridley. I do think they have to, I would say, build up that room as well if they are going to compete with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans in the AFC South. It does sound like, from all indications, that they are going to go offensive lineman, you know, with that seventh overall selection. But I do think adding a guy, you know, with that second round pick that does kind of open things up for Will Levis and kind of focusing on the offensive side of the football is very much where they need to live at next week from a draft perspective to, I would say, kind of at least be on the same sort of playing field as the teams like the Texans and the Jags in their division.
Ben, let's talk about where you think the Bengals stack up in the AFC, because I think if we go on last year, you know, you'd go Kansas City, they add Marquise Brown, you go to Matty's Ravens, they add Derrick Henry, you go to Houston, they added Joe Mixon and others, and then I feel like they're Cincinnati, but am I slotting them wrong? Should they be higher? Should they be above Houston? Where do you have them?
Yeah, I think to me, and maybe it is buying into the hype of the offseason, I know that hasn't historically worked out all that strongly, but I do probably slot, you know, the Houston Texans right above the Cincinnati Bengals right now. You know, obviously, you know, the Bengals that we saw at points last season wasn't the team that we're projecting to be at in 2024. And I think when they are at their best, like, they can still be, you know, that second best team to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC and have kind of shown that ability to play some of those close games with some of the best teams in the conference. But I do think right now, just based on where we're at from a paper standpoint, you know, before the draft, I would probably slot the Texans in just a little bit above them. I do think in a lot of ways that's buying into 1 year of CJ Stroud, although it was a remarkable season. I do think, you know, from a where you can be confident at the quarterback position, you know, Joe Burrow obviously provides that with the Cincinnati Bengals. So I do think Texans are probably correctly slotted ahead of them. But I do think it is pretty muddied, I would say, you know, picks 2 through 5 in the AFC for sure right now.
Where are you at with Buffalo? Has their ceiling really lowered this offseason? I know the Diggs deal was really, you know, maybe an eye-opener for a lot of people, but it seems like they've lost a lot of guys that have been contributors for them over the last couple of years. You looking at the Bills right now as a team, as one of the elites amongst the AFC, or has they kind of take a step back here?
Yeah, definitely. I think they have taken a step back. You know, obviously, there are some ways in which they could be stockpiled, but to do what they've actually done, I think is, you know, in some ways, not necessarily hit a complete rebuild, but it speaks to the difficulty of the situation in which they were under with Josh Allen, I think, and not really understanding where he was at in years 1 and 2, and that third year breakout in a lot of ways forced them to pay him relatively early, and they just couldn't quite put the winner around him that they absolutely needed to, and now they're kind of rebuilding away from that. So I don't know. I don't know where they go at in the draft. It does seem like they have to absolutely add something to the wide receiver.
All right, hopefully you're still there. I think, do we still got you, Ben?
Got some pieces in place, but I think it's absolutely a situation where You know, things are just not going to be where they once were, and they are clearly, I would say, you know, six or further on down and very much maybe kind of on the verge of sitting out of the playoffs here again.
Okay. Ben Brown with us, NFL data scientist at Sumer Sports. Give me your take on the Browns. I know it's a big if. Deshaun Watson, if he starts playing really good, consistent football, if they stay healthy. They did make the playoffs, unfortunately, ran into a buzzsaw in the Texans, but at the ceiling, what are the Browns in 2024?
Yeah, I think they are, you know, kind of that fourth seed potentially. Obviously, we've seen what they can do defensively in a lot of ways. You know, it's tough to completely buy into the defense once again, returning in a similar fashion to what they were at in 2023. But I think if they get that, if they get a top end play from Deshaun Watson, they very much have gone out and I would say got some veteran options at the wide receiver position that can provide life right away. And I think if they do that, like they are kind of in that capability of catching like a team like the Baltimore Ravens sitting as, you know, the potential third or fourth best team in the AFC and maybe getting hot at the right time and providing some really good games down the stretch into the playoffs, I think is kind of from a ceiling standpoint, at least within the realm of possibilities for what the Cleveland Browns can do and expect in 2024.
Real quick, going over to the NFC, I really like the Rams and what they started to look like last year, but now they just took a big hit with Aaron Donald retiring. Do you still view the Rams as a team that can make a push in the NFC, or is that loss just going to be too much to overcome?
Yeah, I think it's tough, but they, obviously, I think have figured out things offensively. It doesn't seem like Matthew Stafford's really lost a lot. So I think, you know, kind of in a lot of ways, a wide open NFC, they could be a borderline playoff team. And once again, like, then you're kind of looking at quarterback play and the veteran presence that Matthew Stafford can provide, especially if it's the offense that's gotten them there, I think is a really intriguing buy candidate. So I'm kind of with you. I think, the NFC is so wide open, especially kind of pending heading into the draft. There are some teams that could potentially set up well if they do go out and get an impact type player. But I think, you know, where we're at right now, what we can expect to be from the NFC, I do think it's going to be a wild, wide open race kind of throughout.
All right, my man. Should be a lot of fun. Draft coming up and handicapping this year, and we'll do it with you. Thanks, bud. Be well.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Thanks. Ben Brown, NFL data scientist at Sumer Sports. And I did not say you too. When he said, have a great show.
You're a pro, man.
I'm learning.
You're a pro, baby.
I don't know. Maybe it's just kind of, it's in there now. I was close. All right. When we come back, sold out in 1 hour. Who and what? Find out next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, the hype is real. And she is real. And so, do you see a star like this shining even further or coming back to Earth? And that's the Caitlin Clark story. And so, all of a sudden, people that either didn't know who she was or didn't watch women's basketball got to know this girl over several years. And the other stars, certainly in college basketball, because the games were so compelling. And then she breaks the record, and very polarizing. Should we compare her to the men and those records? And then you had Lynette Woodard come out and say, wait a minute, she didn't play with the big ball. And, and in my era, and there's no three-point line. And while those things are real, it feels like that she has had to... And I don't think she's defending herself, but maybe her fans are defending her. But last night, the WNBA had their draft, and she has a brand new team. We knew it was going to be the Indiana Fever, and that would have been the biggest upset in all of sports if they decided to say, nah, we're good. Yeah. Give us the next best one.
Yeah.
And so, because as much as her talent is real, it's her persona that you're also buying. Now, she has to be good. She has to go to the next level and continue to burn nets, which I'm sure she will. And their first game is like a little less than a month away. Yeah, that's the funny part.
It's wild how that the college women's college basketball schedule and WNBA schedule kind of mesh together, if you will, how quickly that turnaround is. But yeah, here we are. So now you turn the page, and it's just for me, what are we getting as far as attention? Is the attention still going to be the same for Caitlin Clark? I think she's got a chance to do it. I think she's got a chance to continue this momentum, because one thing I think she brings to the table is a very entertaining style of play. Now, no matter who, if you're a casual basketball fan, you could pop on a Caitlin Clark game and you could see her pulling up from deep, right? Way deep, hitting all these threes and behind the back stuff. So she's a fun watching her hoop. And she's got a little bit of that villain vibe, right? Where she leans in a little bit to some of those things. But the biggest thing is she's going to have the machine behind her. And when you look at what's next, right, she's not going to be tucked away like on some of the games last year on CBS Sports Network, where I know a lot of the WNBA games are played. Now, 36 of their 40 regular season games, they're going to be on national TV. And you're talking ESPN, ABC, and CBS. So she has a real chance to do what she did in college if she answers the question you asked. And is that going to be a consistent high level of play? We played a clip from Diana Taurasi a week ago, one of the best to ever pick up a basketball in the women's realm. And she said, hey, you know what? She got a learning curve coming. Now, that's going to happen to all rookies in all of sports for the most part. But how long is that test going to be for a rookie? Is she going to be one of those rare rookies that can figure this thing out quickly and dominate the sport? That's a yet to be seen type of thing. So her star power is absolutely real. I know what your tease was about the jerseys, and what, she sold out of jerseys on Fanatics in an hour.
So in an hour, her number 22 jersey sold out on the Fanatics website. And so in every size.
Yeah, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And so I think the combination, especially for the city of Indiana and such a historic basketball town.
Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm just saying Indiana as a whole, right? Where I'm going with this is you got the Hoosiers that have all their history. You got the Indiana Pacers right now that have this young, hot team that are very entertaining to watch. They led the NBA in points this year. Now you infuse Caitlin Clark into that same state. That's going to be great for them. But as far as the national landscape goes, they're trying to push her. They're going to try to push her and make this as big as they possibly can. And I can't wait to see what it looks like, because I know I'll be tuning in to a few of her games. There's no doubt about it, just because I enjoy watching her hoop and the way that she plays.
I think she got a lot of guys who wouldn't normally watch women's basketball to watch. Now, I would tell you that I watched a lot of her games because I thought they had incredible meaning. It was college basketball. It was the best the sport had to offer. It's Final Four. Count me in. But now I get to find out if the attraction is real to me with the WNBA and how relevant that is in the sports world. If there was one person that could make it more relevant, I would think it would be her, right? Especially now. Mm-hmm. And you said it best. Would people try to find her because she is so unique? Yeah. But now if you don't have to try, then all of a sudden you can get spoon-fed this, then I think you're there. Now, succeeding at that level, I think there'll be that's a question as well. Like you said, with Taurasi talking about now you're going up against people that have experience, mm-hmm. big, strong, played professional basketball, here we are, and they're not going to want to be toasted by a rook. So is she up for it? I would think yes. She seems to have that edge you're talking about. Whether it transcends into ratings, my guess would be that initially the answer would be yes, because there's an absolute continuation.
Right.
I want to see her play basketball. I enjoyed watching her play, and I want to see her play more, and I want to see if she's successful. Can she shoot the lights out against them when you have better teams, and maybe they can put somebody on her that really can guard her? Now, the beautiful thing for her is that she has in the gym range. And when you have in the gym range like Steph Curry, then you got to challenge her to shoot that one. Because any coach would tell you, let her shoot that one.
No question.
We'll live with that one. And so we'll find out whether she can actually get her own shot off in that league.
100%. And I think a good thing that the NBA, WNBA probably loves is that you got her on a Midwest East Coast team, right? Those games that aren't going to be tucked away late at night where you got to stay up for, you know, our neck of the woods at 10 o'clock at night and beyond that to watch her. So I think that's going to work out well. Look, they've got some star power, but I do think where we are with women's basketball, the star power to me seems like we're back, man. We got some positive momentum behind this thing, but she's going to have to be one to really lead the charge to really, really shine a light on what the sport is. And hopefully more people, we'll really tune into what she's doing on a nightly basis. And real quick, before we get to the top, congrats to Dublin's own former Buckeye, now J.C. Shelton, drafted fifth overall in the draft last night by the Dallas Wings. So wishing her well after a nice career here in the Scarlet and Gray.
Yeah, it'll be great to have them both, obviously, in there. And I was just looking at some of the, you know, the teams and locations that Caitlin will be playing. I mean, she's going to go across this fine country. She's going to play at the Barclays Center, you know, against the Liberty. She'll play in Seattle against the Storm. She'll play in Long Beach against the Sparks. She'll play in Vegas against the Aces. And so,
in those venues, I wouldn't be surprised if those are sold out when she pulls
they
up.
They have to be.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Chicago, big city, Phoenix. Like, it's a barnstorming tour
100%.
For Caitlin Clark. Now, if it, the only way it kind of wears off, I guess, is if they're not that good, I guess, that maybe she doesn't elevate the fever, but I know people are paying to see her, and I'm just wondering whether, for me, I'm curious to see how she succeeds, but I can't tell you that a game from the Indiana Fever versus the Las Vegas Aces is going to have any emotion to it for me, as far as the game itself.
Oh, that'd be, but that's the one. That's the one you want, with the star power with the Aces, with Asia Wilson and company and Kelsey Plum. That's the game right there. That's probably going to be the highest, one of the highest rating games, honestly, with the Aces.
I know, but for me, the Iowa versus LSU or the Iowa versus South Carolina, it had more meaning to
me. I feel that for you personally. I'm just saying the WNBA right now, the Aces are kind of like the team, right? With Becky Hammon coaching them and all of those storylines kind of infused to that game. That would be
fun. Game one versus New York, who has Breonna Stewart on it. That's a good matchup, too.
She's a problem, CB. She can go. So we'll see. But to your point, AR, the level of greatness. Are we going to get a similar vibe with her game in the WNBA? Because that will be the attraction if she can continue to do that.
Here's the interesting thing for me. The league needs her to be good, but the other teams don't want her to be good.
Of course.
And so that's going to be the great fight on whether, because the last thing the WNBA needs is for teams to be able to check her and hold her down and her to not be as successful as she was in college.
Yep.
We'll find out. All right, we'll take a break. Sports Center update here, top of the hour. Joel Klatt was on the field for Ohio State spring game, so he was right in the epicenter of the quarterback battle. We'll get his opinion next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, second hour of the program. Luke Braun, host of Locked On Vikes. Jump on the program, 1:33.
If you miss Ben Brown in the first hour talking all things NFL, you can find that podcast, that interview, is what I meant to say, and a lot more wherever you get your podcast, just by typing in Rothman and Ice. You do that, our faces will pop up. You can listen to everything we do for 3 hours a day. And please subscribe to the podcast as well.
We will be very curious to find out where Dallin Hayden lands. And it was, he played more last season. Well, he needed to play more, obviously. And then you have the big transfer with Judkins. And this is college football. And back in the day, it would have been, okay, stick it out, find a way to get on the field, get in the rotation, wait for a guy to get tweaked, here's my shot. He still was going to be the third running back on this team, regardless of whether he stayed. Now, do I know that for sure? That he couldn't maybe outshine one of those? I don't know. I feel as the depth chart was pretty set with what they know they have in Travion Henderson, what they know they have in Quinshon Judkins now. And so I don't blame him at all. And so
he waited his time last year. That was his time. He waited around after the year before stepping up when guys went down and showing everybody, oh, if we got to give this young dude the rock, there's not going to be a dramatic drop off because he really impressed at least me a couple years ago when he really had to step up when injuries started to pop up for the running back room. So I completely understand why he made this move after last year. And I don't know what the conversations were behind the scenes when it came to, hey, this is the reason why we're not giving you a bunch of work. We're looking around the corner 2024 and you're going to be the guy. And then maybe as a coaching staff, you start to hear some things about, hey, you know, this guy Quinshon Judkins down from the SEC. That's an absolute baller. He's interested in coming up to Columbus, then you're kind of like, well, what do you do? You don't tell a guy that talented, no. That would be foolish to do that. So if you're Dallin, you forecast ahead what you just highlighted. Like, what real opportunities would I have to be an impactful guy this season in year three of my collegiate career? So he's a talented guy. He's absolutely, I think, going to garner a pretty high level of interest, or at least should, in my opinion. But on the flip side of that, for Ohio State, you got two horses that are absolutely ready to dominate this year in Travion and Quinshon if they're healthy and they get the push up front from their offensive line. But I think at least for me, even Saturday showed in the spring game. And look, you don't want to overreact to the spring game. I get that. But whether it's James Peoples or whether it's Caffey or whether it's my guy Sam Williams-Dixon from Pick North, there's some guys in that room that if one of the top two do go down, it looks like Coach Lachlan's going to have a guy or two that you can go to and maybe they can be this year's Dallin Hayden the way he was just a couple years ago, and the train could continue to roll. So for Dallin, I wish him well. It's unfortunate that it didn't work out here, because I think if he did have that opportunity this year to maybe even be the guy next to Travion, he could have balled out.
He's averaged 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, he can go, man.
I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And a lot of his games came against Big Ten teams, and he was really good. And we were all clamoring for more of Dallin Hayden.
Yeah.
And so it really kind of just went sideways with trying to preserve him, protect his playing time, versus him wanting to finally say, I can be the guy.
Because if you're Coach Day, last year maybe at the beginning of the season, you had to think, right, that I might lose Travion at the end of this year. Travion's so good, he's going to go to the NFL. You flip the page of 2024, and here we are hitting the reset button with Dallin Hayden, who could probably make everybody feel comfortable if he is your RB1, but just things changed, and Travion changed his mind, and then you had the Quinshon situation happen, and that now here we are, where you have to make a difficult decision if you're Dallin Hayden, maybe leave, you know, a city and some of the teammates and your friends, you know, that you don't really want to leave, but at the end of the day, you got to handle your business and follow your dreams.
Nobody wants to fast forward past this year. Yeah. This year is the year. This is the year to right all wrongs. This is the year to go all the way and be that halftime returning team 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. This is that team. And so no one's focusing on, well, you know, 2025 looks a little weird. Judkins gone, Travion gone. Yeah, you got some young backs, but, you know, that's like, it's one of those things, right? Mom, I'll do my homework later.
Right.
Don't worry, I'll get it done.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like it's all about this year. Joel Klatt had a chance to be the epicenter of spring ball, talking to Ryan Day throughout. And so he was right there, eyeballing the quarterbacks. And here he is on the QB battle and a running game that can help them out.
Now the quarterback battle. You've got Will Howard and Devin Brown that are legitimately, I would say right now, competing for that starter spot. Will Howard got the first snaps. He was 9 of 13 for 77 yards. Devin Brown was 5 of 7 for 66 yards. Did have a touchdown. Did not throw an interception. Ran it 3 times, although them not being live, it's hard to really get a feel for what's going on. Whether it's Will Howard or Devin Brown, they're going to have, I would expect, a run game that features the two best running backs in college football, Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. These two guys are going to be a problem for defenses. I'm interested to see if they are in the field in the backfield at the same time. I'm interested to see the schematics that Chip Kelly uses in order to try to run the football. All of that interests me a great deal.
They can both go out and catch passes too. Like that, they showed that in the spring game. And it's interesting because my mind doesn't go to the running game. My mind goes certainly to the offensive line, but it probably should. I mentioned on the tailgate show, and we've mentioned it last week, the running game was not even close to Ohio State standard. Not even close. And so if you're not top eight, top seven in this conference running the football, that's weird.
Ohio State should be top five with the talent they have.
Yeah.
In my opinion, year in and year out.
Now, all games aren't created equal. Sometimes you sling it all around. Sometimes you get up on a team and then you can run it all day and the stats become, you know, they tell the story, but they really don't tell the story. But over the course of an entire body of work of a season, I think we get a good, pretty good feeling. But yeah, I mean, this is a team, you know, you talked about the quarterbacks. I don't know if we can sit here and I can't tell you and you can't tell me whether they would have an equal chance to win a national title with Devin Brown versus Will Howard. I don't know. I really don't, because we have not seen, especially Devin, we haven't seen Devin have his Kyle McCord moment yet. And we have no idea what he would be like in a high-pressure game where it's all on you.
Yeah, and situations like two-minute drill before the half to end the game. We haven't seen those moments from Devin Brown. So I'm kind of bracing for maybe a little bit of a shift in offensive identity this year when it comes to this brand, right? Because you go back to 2018, 2019, this offense, talking the passing attack, has ranked top three in the conference in passing yards per game. Maybe that's going to flip a little bit this year, right? We've heard so much just about Chip Kelly and his ability to really craft a good run game. You look at Coach Lachlan coming from Oregon last year and being a part of a very strong run game. Chip Kelly at UCLA last year, both those were top two in the conference, talking UCLA and Oregon in rushing yards per game. So maybe that will be the bread and butter. And you have, and I know that's probably odd to hear, and it's odd for me to even say because of the amazing run this program has had at the wide receiver position. And not that the wide receivers can't be crazy impactful, because you can have both, but maybe this year it could be a little bit more, I don't know, 60-40, maybe even 50-50 with what we get from this offense, because they've just been able to kill teams over the last handful of years plus with their ability to push the ball downfield with the great receivers that they have. But now when you have a really good offensive mind and Chip Kelly and Coach Day and everybody included on that side of the ball that has these really talented running backs, if that's your bread and butter, just roll with it.
Yeah, I already can feel like an over-under from CB in the fall. Like, quarterback attempts in 2024, over or under 449 and a half, you know, like, or something. Because I agree with you. I don't think we're going to a Dwayne Haskins throw it up 550 times or whatever. It doesn't feel like that to me.
Yeah.
But we'll see. They have the receivers to do it. Mm-hmm. But with those two backs that he just talked about, it'd be a crime not to have them kind of carry things most of the time. Now, third and long, situational, taking shots deep. Of course, you're going to have that to win a national title. But this kind of feels like more in the 350 area, as far as attempts.
And what that can do is it can keep, you know, the JTs and the Jack Sawyers and the Denzel Burks and the Caleb Downs, those guys fresh, right? With how dominant this defense should be this year and really has a chance to be if they stay healthy, you get a good run game going and that other team sitting on the sideline and that other quarterback and offensive coordinator are just looking at that clock bleed and bleed and bleed because Quinshon and Travion and this offensive line are picking up first down after first down throughout a game. Man, you're playing right into the strength of Ohio State this upcoming season. And you're talking about a defense that late in game is going to be able to have fresh legs and really feel good about where they are. Like, that could be such a good thing this year for this year's team. So maybe that run game will be the headline this year, AR. Who knows?
I feel like I could almost, well, I don't know, because if they're splitting carries, can I guarantee they have a 1,000-yard rusher this year? I can't guarantee it because of the split time,
right?
But I would definitely bet on it.
I don't know if I could push back on that. I really don't. Because, like, especially with a guy like Travion, like, you know, he's just got that home run ability.
Well,
like,
we've seen it. We've seen it with him.
Those
we know he can.
Runs he can rip off 40, 50, 60 yards. Like, you get him to the edge, like we saw, not even just last year, his entire career. Like, that dude can be a blur when he gets to the secondary. And even Quinshon Judkins has got some nice juice to him, too. So, man, I'm going to have to roll with you on that, big dog. 1,000 a pop for both of them?
Well, no, I really wasn't going with, like, both. I was thinking that you got to at least have one, but then I started saying, would one pull from the other, and we would have both of them with, like, 900 yards apiece. Like, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I could see that, too.
But that would be the fun bet. Will they have a 1,000-yard rusher this year?
It's a good problem to have.
With Chip and the way they do this. And, by the way, I got to remember, The quarterback's going to steal a lot.
That's probably we should go the other way.
Yeah, he's stealing more in the red zone. I'm not worried about those 75 yarders you're talking about.
Yeah, no matter who it is, I don't know if we're getting the quarterback really running far away. You know, I brought it up the other day, Will Howard, like all of his rushing touchdowns last year for Kansas State happened, as you mentioned, down in the red zone. So I don't know if that's going to be a big thing, but that could chip away at it just a little bit. Regardless, that unit, man, they're going to be an issue. Yeah. They're going to be an issue for defenses, and that's just going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, get back. Now, are we getting back to like the J.K. Dobbins days, and we're getting 2K? No, we're not. It just doesn't. That doesn't feel
because you don't need to do that.
That's what I'm saying. He was the lead,
and also as a coaching staff, you don't need to do that, right? You're hoping to play 15, 16, 17 games. You want those guys as fresh as possible when the heat really cranks up.
Maddie, if you haven't been fresh as possible, maybe there's low T. It's possible. And guys, if you've been feeling a little tired, irritable, don't have that motivation and drive, it could be low testosterone. Get your levels checked. Find out. You've been questioning it. You're curious about it. Find out. Low T Center is the place to go. LowTCenter.com. Book your appointment. Take the simple blood test. Get your results in 25 minutes. So if you have noticed some weight gain, you've lost some muscle, you may have low T levels. It's very common amongst guys, 30s, 40s, 50s for sure. And so it's time to find out. But if you haven't been feeling right, like you lack that energy and that motivation in the afternoon, you're ready for another nap, it could be low T. So schedule your health assessment at Low T Center. It's only $25 right now to get your T level tested. Like I've said, you'll get those results back in less than a half an hour. So make your health and life a quality of life really a priority and go to lowtcenter.com now and book your appointment. lowtcenter.com, Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare. All right. We know one guy who's feeling all sorts of chipper. What are his odds of returning? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The Fan is live and local with Morning Juice. Caffeinate and dominate.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, it's not like if Tom Brady unretires, he wouldn't be in good company. It's not like it's never happened before. His first retirement was one of the shortest in history. You know, 22 seasons, 7 Super Bowls, let's hang it up. About a month and a half later, we're back.
My guy had a lot going on, you know.
He did.
His wife was creeping on the low, had all that stuff going on.
Confirmed?
I mean, it's been confirmed. She's with the guy. Or I don't know if they're officially official, but I mean, she's not shying away from being seen with that man. Dirty Maggin.
Were they? Or were they just
she was definitely
conveniently separated?
It's okay to admit she was Dirty Maggin.
Well, I don't know if she was. Maybe they were actually separated.
I mean, she was out in public with it. She didn't even
That's
care.
What I'm saying. Like that's quite bold. If you're if you're not a unrestricted free agent at that point.
Yeah.
Or maybe she was a restricted free agent and Tommy just didn't want to match the offer.
Crazy.
But there are guys that have done it, and listen, he goes to Tampa and who's the first he calls Gronk. You know, let's
Well, not only Gronk, he moved AB into his house.
Well, that's true. Big mistake.
Imagine what was going on in there. Stories that
that's
we will never hear about what was happening there.
Was he in the guest house or in the main?
I don't know. And AB's made some odd comments on Twitter about
the main floor plan.
He's made some odd comments about, you know, he and Giselle. And
I'm saying.
I don't even want to know. Like, I don't want to know
that. That's the worst.
What he's alluding to is crazy. Now, AB's out there. We all know that. But he's told that line, AR, that maybe he and Giselle, know.
We've had boxers come out of retirement for one big payday or whatever. Like, that stuff's happened.
Mike Tyson's doing it now.
But does that really count?
It's a payday. He's coming
out. It's a payday.
He's coming out of essentially retirement to get a check. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I guess it fits what I said. But I feel like I guess I want it to be a fight that actually matters that I'm curious about And I know you're not buying it, and I'm not going to buy it. I don't know what it's going to cost.
No.
Is it still happening even?
I'm more of a Logan Paul type of guy over Jake Paul type of guy, because Logan's over WWE doing his thing. And he's actually really good at it. And the Prime drink's not bad either. He's making crazy money after that. And he's got a lot of athletes that are repping Prime. Logan Paul's out here doing his thing right now. Got to give it to the man. His brother, on the other hand, no. He just pops up every once in a while, fights dudes, and away he goes. Which, not mad at that either. Get your checks, Jake.
Favre did it. Feels like a couple of different times.
I want to hear the interception call.
Why?
Because
let's stay on topic here. No, let's stay on topic.
Find it, CB. Every time we bring up Brett Favre,
you can't do it. If I bring it up, though, you can't do it. If you guys bring it up, you can do it.
It's not even me trying to dunk on you.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
No, it's not Detroit. Detroit's a lot better right now.
That is just one of the...
That may have been me, not Paul Allen.
It's one of the all-time classic calls of that broadcaster feeling the emotion of calling games for that team and watching the season go down the drain. I appreciate that honest emotion. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's your team. You don't like to, you know, pull off the Band-Aid there. But sometimes...
I think I think he was about 10 years in, I think, to the Vikes when that had happened.
Oh, okay.
In 2010, I believe. Maybe he was 8 years in, but either way, it was. You're right. It's a classic call. I'm not saying that it's not funny, but it does. And the only reason a Viking fan can take it is because we've been there a million times, and we're waiting for that to happen all the time. You should have played it for Luke Brown at 133. Could have waited for him. Hey, here's your intro, Luke. Locked on Vikes. You're probably not old enough to remember this, but here you go. So Tom Brady was, what is it, the barbershop and the all relevancy tour. And I guess he was asked, I don't know whether this was scripted, whether he knew he was going to get this, but we'll replay this for you.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots.
Somebody.
Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
And so now when that dropped, you had, you know, some odds come out. And whether, I don't think it's real, but, you know, people start to get active when they hear things like this, and so does Vegas. And so your leader in the clubhouse, according to Vegas, is the Las Vegas Raiders at plus 125. Then you got the New England Patriots at plus 3,000. And then you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at plus 500, followed by the 49ers at plus 900.
Yeah.
Where's your brain go when you hear those odds?
Quickly, I'll say the difference between he and MJ, because I think you mentioned Jordan in that clip. Jordan was 30 when the whole thing happened.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things. We can go down that road, too, on why. But I would say that when he announced, I'm back, it had an unbelievable, I mean, that was crazy. Three titles later, it was a great decision. If you're telling me that if Tom Brady decided to come back now, I guarantee I would be betting against him winning a Super Bowl.
I think that'd be wrong.
I know a lot of people would do it just to do it. But when Jordan, that's all I just want to say. When Jordan retired, he was 30. There's a big difference. He wanted to play in, what, 10 more years.
Yeah, that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
But
what would be fun for me in this fantasy world if he did come back is dropping him in to the AFC West with the Las Vegas Raiders. Going head-to-head with Mahomes and Reed twice a year. Harbaugh and Justin Herbert twice a year, and then you got Sean Payton, whatever the heck the Broncos are going to do at quarterback. That would be the most entertaining of the teams that I mentioned, or would you rather see
Pats,
Bucks, or Niners? Put them in the NFC West. Going up against the Niners. I'm sorry, playing for the Niners and going up against the Rams.
Well, it's certainly not the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the Niners, and there's one other team that I would like.
Who's that?
And I don't mean to dunk on him, but the Brady calls you do something. It'd probably be the Dolphins, because they have shown that they can't win a meaningful game. They're very good, and I want to like them, and I want to root for them, and I think they're close, and that's my point. And he was going to do that, and then the whole pivot happened, and then the Flores stuff happened.
That would be fun, though. And that would be fun.
Now
you get Josh Allen. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, the childhood one is the Niners. Yeah. That's the one that could actually make him finally retire, meaning come back, play for them, then finally retire. Like, I finally did it. Mm-hmm. It came full circle. I'm in the stands crying, Candlestick Park, and now I get to go back full circle.
Was he really crying?
He was crying. Okay. I mean, look awfully old. I'll have to find that.
If he did go back to New England, it would be fun for me.
It would kill Purdy's payday, though, with the, like, you don't want to do that to a young
Purdy
guy.
Like, really, Tom?
Don't toy with him like that.
Really, Tom? Really?
This guy's just about to get paid, and you're calling? Throw that. Oh, man. Anyway, you were saying.
No, just saying, even if he went to New England, though, you still get that AFC East. No, I'm talking about just the matchups, right? Rodgers, Allen, Tua. Then you can keep Tua in there.
He's got to be careful, though. If he comes back and stinks,
then
was on a bad team.
He's still the GOAT.
He is, but that's not the way you want to go out.
I mean, but
out the way you did.
Yeah, but people don't really talk much about Jordan's Wizards years. It's like, hey, this guy was one of the best. You know, like, we don't really talk about it.
That's true. Yeah, you may have me there. But I think for him, make Ted 3 or Ted 4 and be fine. All right, we come back with Luke Braun. We'll find out if he feels the Vikes are going to do what everyone's predicting they will do. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Fascinating, informative, covered in dog slobber. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back. The Vikes have the ammunition. They're the team as far as trying to control how far a quarterback will drop. Who they want, exactly. Who they want is anybody's guess, but the guy who's going to make an educated one for us is our friend Luke Braun, Locked On Vikes. Welcome to the program, Luke.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
You got him, my man. All right, so there's no way to truly know what the Vikings are thinking here. Everyone could hear rumors whether they like Drake May or J.J. McCarthy seems to be the hot name. And then you've got the history, quarterback coach, and all that stuff. But we know one thing's for sure. Sam Darnold and Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall are not the future, and they have the ammunition to go create their new future. So the question I will ask you is, are you getting a feeling of how aggressive they want to be from the way they've been talking? Like, how high would they be willing to go to get their guy?
So if I had to make an educated guess, like you said, my guess would be that they're going to go up to 3, 4, or 5. And all of that just depends on what teams like New England, Arizona, the Chargers are willing to do. But if New England is willing to move off of 3, Adam Schefter actually just reported this, if they're willing to move off of 3, it'll probably be the Vikings. They've got 2 firsts this year. They've got all their firsts in the future. Makes it pretty easy to outbid a team like Denver and a team like Las Vegas. We haven't heard anything about them in a long time. The only real competition there would be the Giants. So we'll see if they're willing to be super, super aggressive or if all of that buyer's remorse stuff about Daniel Jones is just a smokescreen. But that it has been sort of the mainstream narrative, and around all that, now in the last couple of weeks, you've gotten a couple other reports from the local beat about, hey, maybe they aren't going to be this aggressive. What if they actually like somebody that they think they could get at 11 or something like that? Who knows how much of that is real or how much it isn't? But I think if you go with they're going to try to get to 3, and if not, and try to take Drake May there, which I think that it's pretty obvious that that's their guy. They hired his high school coach as QB coach. I don't think they're trying to keep that a secret. And also, Adam Schefter just, like, said it yesterday. But if the Patriots say, nope, we like Drake May too much, we're not moving off the pick, they hang up, then it's 4 or 5, whatever the best deal is there, trying to get J.J. McCarthy. And trying to navigate the idea of making sure you leapfrog the Giants successfully and you don't accidentally get sniped by the Broncos or something. Like, you don't trade up to 5, but then the Broncos trade up to 4 or anything stupid like that.
So, Vikes have had an interesting offseason, right? Kirk Cousins no longer part of this, and you got, you know, the hovering Justin Jefferson contract above everybody's head. But I thought one of the interesting moves this offseason was you had, you know, an in-division rival in Aaron Jones go from Green Bay to Minnesota. Just talk about that fit, right? Going out of the Dalvin Cook era and Alexander Madison and now Aaron Jones and what you think he's going to be able to provide now in the purple.
Yeah, the time-honored tradition of players that feel slighted by the Packers just directly going to Minnesota out of spite. I don't know what to expect from him health-wise, longevity-wise, volume-wise, we'll say, if you want to take it like a fantasy perspective. I don't know what kind of carry load we can put on that guy and how healthy he'll stay. Those are all the big question marks. But when he's on the field, when he's healthy, he reads the plays out properly, and I think he's still got enough burst where he can make good on that. And that's going to be an immediate upgrade on what the Vikings had all season long at running back. Vikings running back last year was an abject catastrophe. Alexander Madison didn't have the burst to get it done. He's a conservative running back. He's a solid RB2 kind of type. You know, he'll take the grass that's there, but you're never going to get any explosion out of your run game with him. And then we had guys that could have been explosive. Cam Akers was doing okay. Then he got hurt. Then Ty Chandler was doing okay when he read the play out right, but he would mess it up all the time. So they had a disaster at the running back position, and it held their run game back. We really found out how bad a running back has to be to matter. It was that bad, the ones that they had. So getting somebody who is who has a legit brain and knows how to read out zone, lots of experience there, and hopefully still has enough burst to get to the edge when the play requires it, that I think is going to make a pretty good difference. And then it's just a matter of how often we've got to sub that guy out and who subs in for him. Is it Ty Chandler now being as RB2? Do they draft somebody? That'll be the next big question.
Luke Braun with us, Locked On Vikes, here on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. So, listen, they're not better without Kirk Cousins. We know that. It's going to be a while to know whether they draft a quarterback that's worthy of anything here. But they do have that contract off the books, and it feels like, and the Vikes aren't really a team that wants to announce to their fan base we're in a rebuild. And maybe they don't even have to, because the fans will probably show up. It's a pretty diehard fan base, and they've gone through, you know, having their hearts ripped out for decades. So they really know, and they know they're right. They're in a damn tough division now. But this draft does present a big option for them here. And we talked about the quarterback. Was the fan base good with not paying Cousins again coming off the injury?
Oh my goodness, was that the most divisive thing? Boy, it's a coin flip depending on who you ask. A lot of people are still pretty mad about it. A lot of people really were ride or die with Kirk Cousins. A lot of people said, no, get him off my team. The ones I'm exposed to, I would say, were more satisfied to see him go. Here's the ultimate thing, right? If you go back to 2017, the Vikings make the NFC Championship. They get their doors blown off in Philly, right? That moment where they felt like they had this miracle run with a backup QB, and they felt like, man, if we get a real QB in here, sky is the limit. So let's go get a real QB. That was Kirk Cousins. And let's make a run out of this. Let's make a championship window out of this. And in 2018, they don't make the playoffs. And in 2019, they're the sixth seed. They win a game, but then they're well outclassed by the 49ers. And then they don't make the playoffs in 2020. They don't make the playoffs in 2021. They have this super miracle season now. All the coaches fired. The GM that did all this stuff is fired. But they don't win a playoff game that year, and then they don't make the playoffs last year. So they made two playoff appearances, one win with what was supposed to be a championship window, and everybody that built that is now out of the building and fired, and most of them had to either take time off of the – like, Rick Spielman's making TikToks on his porch. It didn't work out for anybody. So as much as we can say we miss, you know, having something, I guess, real in Kirk Cousins, and now there's this risk that you have this horrible bust of a quarterback or whatever, as much as we feel unsafe, we got our safety net out. Safety is overrated. It's not about being safe. It's about being a champion. Kirk Cousins was not a champion for the Vikings. He had 6 years, a phenomenal roster to do it, and it all atrophied and deteriorated. And now, yeah, maybe they're in more of a rebuild than they want to admit. But hopefully the presence of Jefferson, of Aaron Jones, of Jordan Addison, Hockenson, once he's healthy, bookend tackles in Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill will help that new quarterback develop, and we can see Kirk Cousins in the rear view a little bit more fondly if we've got somebody else under center.
Just real quick, last one for me, outside of the quarterback situation, because that's going to get so much attention next week if they do end up making a move up. What other draft needs do the Vikings have that could potentially, if they hit on these draft picks, get them in a position to really compete with Detroit?
Yeah, so they don't have a lot of ability to, I think, affect their roster outside of the QB position. They've got these two first-round picks. Assuming they package them in a trade up, you don't pick again till 108. So it's hard to answer that. But what I will say is the room in the most trouble, in my opinion, is the D-line. They lost Danielle Hunter. They brought in Jonathan Grenard. I like Jonathan Grenard, but he's not Danielle Hunter. And they're trying to moneyball it a little bit, where they got like Jerry Killery in and a bunch of guys that like might not make the team. And they're trying to recreate Danielle Hunter in the aggregate with a bunch of like solid veteran players that are 6-7 year veterans that have always been role players, but there's nobody on that D-line that really moves the needle. You know, there's guys like Harrison Phillips who are great at the role that they do, but they're not the premier player on the line like Danielle Hunter was. And they don't really have that. I think they're expecting Grenard to be that. I think that's a lot to expect of him. I would love to see them add another defensive lineman. If, for example, if the quarterback thing totally strikes out, if they get outbid by the Giants and quarterbacks go 1-2-3-4 and they, you know, and everything's a disaster and they just are going to draft, they're probably going D-line. I wouldn't even be surprised to see them double dip on D-line in that scenario at 11 and 23.
All right. Fun little conversation about the purple people eaters. We'll find out how many teams they gobble up in the draft to go up and get their QB. Luke, thanks, man. We'll talk again. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yeah, good stuff. Luke Braun, host of Locked On Vikes. He was on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, Buckeye Bulletin coming your way next. Jim Knowles knows he has game changers. He pinpointed where. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only show where sports talk is eclipsed by food talk.
Oh, nuts.
Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, Buckeye Bulletin time. Jim Knowles knows the kind of defense that he has, the kind of defense he's developing, and he knows that they have the ability to shut teams down. And he talked about the corners being the complete game changers.
Yeah, when you have corners that you can count on, again, it's just like having defensive tackles in the run game. When you have corners you can count on that are going to compete all the time, no matter what the situation is, and we've developed that, again, it changes the way you call the entire game. I mean, you're able to leave those guys on an island. You're able to switch up coverages, and they know what they're doing, and they take great pride in it. So having those guys out there in the development, it's a big deal. It really is.
He thought he could do that in the past, and it backfired. And they had to change how they went about it defensively. This team might allow him to be exactly what he wants to be at all times.
He's got the dudes. He really does. He's got the dudes this year in that cornerback room to do exactly what he just said. And as a defensive play caller, the ability to move other guys around on the field, whether that's going to be, you know, Caleb Downs or Sonny Styles or whoever's going to be roaming back there for the Buckeyes on Saturday, it just gives you flexibility, right? You just have those guys that can lock in that one-on-one coverage. You're not concerned about their receiver or their tight end, whoever they're covering at the time, breaking free and really breaking your defense. Like, it's such a win. It's absolutely a win. So Coach Knowles has to be sleeping well right now. He's never going to get comfortable, but where we are right now, as opposed to where we were just a couple years ago, to where you had some solid things going on, but we're having too many conversations about the big plays that the defense was giving up and guys just roaming free and guys just looking uncomfortable in the defense. A lot of that was put to bed last year. Was it perfect? No. Will it ever be perfect? Probably not. But I think this year's defense has a real shot to just really put a stranglehold on offenses and just make life so difficult for what they're going to be able to do on the offensive side of the ball. So if you get that elite coverage on the back end, then hopefully that defensive line creating some static up front, then you're really on to something, because that can pair very well together when you have defensive linemen that are getting to the quarterback relatively quick with guys on the back end that are giving you sticky coverage. It's just like, where do you go in the passing attack?
Felt a couple years ago, and they were proving to us that they could outscore anybody. And they just started to lean into, well, wait a minute, we're going to score 40-plus a game. Who's going to beat us anyway? And what happened is it worked for 11 games until it didn't. And then they couldn't stop Michigan that year when they put them on an island. And we know the other part of the equation, but that is the big part. And so here they are, because they really circled the wagons and should have beaten Georgia and gave up another 40-plus and had that big moment at the end of that game where, goodness, I'm drawing a blank on the Georgia QB.
Stetson Bennett.
Yes, thank you.
There's a lot going on in that game.
Where he took him down the field. I know, but it was so fast. Like, if he even just made him earn it.
No, I'm just saying, like, that game was just wild, right?
It was amazing.
CJ was incredible. You had the field goal at the end. You get Marvin knocked out of the game and the stuff that you mentioned, and they were still almost there.
That was right there.
They were still almost there. And then it's the ultimate what if. One of the biggest ultimate what ifs in program history is what happens if they go on. Or if you don't lose that game. I think a lot of us feel like they're hoisting the trophy.
If you're writing a book on that season, it's entitled A Season That Might Have Been. Mm. Absolutely.
Because TCU probably wouldn't be able to offer much resistance after what we saw TCU do against Michigan.
So the only
game, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who TCU?
They got blown up by that Georgia team.
That's right.
Right, that's what we said. But they beat Michigan.
But they beat Michigan.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
No, the biggest strength they might have had was praying that Ohio State felt like they just won the title and now they still have to play another game.
Yeah.
It was basically Finland against USA. Like, they were just hoping, wait a minute, they just beat Russia.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to coast. Maybe we score first. Who knows? Like, that.
I know.
That would have been their only advantage.
I know, because Michigan's offense was getting up and down the field on that TCU defense. And we know the weaponry that they had. Do you have CJ's box score up from that game?
From the Michigan game or the Georgia game?
Like, just the numbers. Pull that up.
I know it. It was like, probably like 350.
I want everything. Give me everything he did that day. Because like, that dude was so good, but that game, it was
all right,
like,
what do you want to know?
Just everything. His whole box score. Rushing, right. Give me the...
He was 23 of 34, 348. Sorry, I gave him two more yards than he should have had. 348 passing, 4 touchdowns, no picks. He actually ran the ball, amazingly enough, for 12 times, 34 yards. So nothing there, but he had the 27-yarder rushing. That was his box
score. Yeah, he was on one that day, man. That was elite stuff from him. So
unfortunate. He was almost a leading rusher.
Yeah. He was doing whatever he wanted that day.
It was amazing. All right. I also wanted to mention that the Jake Diebler gamble is going to start right where it should, in Vegas this year.
Okay.
Do you guys see that? That the Ohio State men's basketball is going to take on Texas at T-Mobile in Vegas on November 4th. Okay. First game of the season.
Okay, last time I was in that arena, The Rock smacked the crap out of Cody Rhodes. So, you know, got some good memories in that building right there. No, that's fun, right? Whenever you can get out of town, go play in a nice city like that. And I'm here for it, absolutely. T-Mobile Arena always hosts some fun events. I know they do summer league stuff out there. So, yeah, get the guys out there. It gets an established brand. Never go wrong with that.
Yeah, I'd lie to you if I told you that I know what Texas has coming back, but they didn't make the dance. They did lose to Tennessee, so it's not like... That's a nothing game.
Well, what's funny is that they lost two of their better players to the portal like immediately after this game was announced by John Rothstein and Tyrese Hunter and Dylan Mitchell. So they're going to be hurt by that a little bit. I did see our guy Lunardi did put out his way too early already tournament look, and he had them in the four seed. So they should be at least pretty decent. But, you know, you combine that with the possible, I think they have to finish the second leg of the home and home with Texas A&M this year. And then they'll get Mark Pope and Kentucky in that CBS Sports Classic. So it's already shaping up to be a pretty good non-conference.
CB, Max A. Smith, he's officially out of eligibility. He's no longer playing for Texas, right? We're done?
Are we
officially done with Mac? Because I don't think Buckeye fans want to see
him. You're never fully sure with that COVID year, but I think so.
That's a good question.
Because he was balling for them last year. I don't know what his numbers were right now. Just pretty sure.
Right, because he transferred from Oral Roberts to Texas.
Will the Buckeyes have to see Max A. Smith again? I don't think so. I think he's done. Yeah, I think he's done. Who knows? CB's right. With that COVID year, you never know.
All right, that's today's Buckeye Bulletin. All right, SportsCenter update here, top of the hour. We come back, deep dive it. We have an NFL analyst on ESPN on the quarterback to take and don't look back. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Big voice guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, final hour of the program. Keith Smith, NBA contributor, where Spotrac will jump on at 2:33, and we'll get his take on everything that's going on in the NBA. Cavs, Bucks, Lakers, all the good stuff. We'll hit it all at 2:33.
Some people were salty at the Cavs for what they did coming out of the weekend with benching guys and then benching guys in the fourth quarter to essentially call out the Orlando Magic with really, you know, actually verbally calling them out because they'd rather play the Magic than looking at the other side of the bracket. But
look what the Lakers' decision they have to make, right?
Yeah, they win tonight, and they get Denver in round one, and Denver's been giving them fits the last couple of years. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Or going to the play-in.
Right, and play another game the next couple of days. So, yeah, some interesting stuff popping off, and playoff time's here, man. It's always fun when we get to this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you play the favorites, of course, you probably feel like it's Boston and Denver, but never seems to truly go that way. I had a future on the Celtics from a long time ago, but it's paired with some other stuff. So I'm kind of hoping that they get all the way at least to the finals, but
they're loaded, man. Yeah, and that would be the Cavs' reward for beating the Magic. Yeah, because here's Boston Celtics in round.
Yeah, and there's a you know, you don't know, because I was thinking about the Lakers, and you know, do you want to get, if you're going to have to get through Denver eventually, do you want to get them now when you're
rested
or have to play through it to avoid them and then put more miles on your body? I don't know,
because that's a fair question after what we saw last year, right? Where they. The Lakers did get to the Western Conference Finals, but maybe they just ran out of juice. Who knows? Or maybe Denver's just that great. Jokic is just that great, and their starting five is just perfectly formed together. Now they have that championship pedigree and that championship chemistry. It's going to be tough for anybody to beat them in the West, but yeah, the West play-in games are tonight, Lakers and Pelicans, and then you get the Warriors and Kings, and that Kings arena is going to be absolutely rocking. And last time we saw those two teams playing last year in the postseason, Steph Curry needed 50 points in game 7 for the Warriors to move on. So there's some static between those teams and some other good storylines that'll get us going for the playoffs this week.
Yeah, we got to strategize in the next 20 minutes on where we want to put our money tonight, because it's hard to know. Because unlike me, like, this is the last week of the NHL regular season. And yet, unlike fantasy football, where we end a week before because you protect against guys, teams resting, they don't do that in fantasy hockey, and it sucks. And every alert I get with that sad emoji of, well, your guy's now, you know, day-to-day to out.
Well, especially with this Jackets game tonight, Frederick Anderson, my keeper's out tonight.
Oh, no. So you guys are going through it right now.
I have Svechnikov, and he's out now for Carolina.
Yeah, they got to get that fixed.
Yeah, I think they're sitting like a select handful of guys.
Now, here's what, I lied a little bit. In fantasy hockey, I don't know how it worked in CB's league, but in my league, we did have the championship week as almost like a week and a half. So we had all last week and then into the 4 days this week.
I see.
So it is more of a bigger body of work, and you have to strategize because you can only make four moves a week in my league. But now those four moves are over a week and a half.
I got you.
Now some of the teams are done already. They have no more games left, and some have two more tonight and Thursday. So you have to be watching your roster. Mm-hmm. Freddie got you that shutout last week, right? That was pretty strong.
Yeah, between him and Hellebuck got me that one against Colorado.
You got Hellebuck. I had actually Grubauer pitched a shutout for the Kraken like last week, and then I just decided to dump him. But the key now tonight, I mean, CB, I don't know, are you in the finals of your league?
I am, yes.
Oh, look at you. Yeah,
that's amazing. You want to hear how close mine is real fast now that I'm going to bore everybody? This is with essentially three days left. I'm tied in goals, tied in assists, tied in power play points, and tied in goalie wins. That's how close. I looked at Maddie, I'm like, coin flip city. And then I got that alert that Svechnikov was out tonight against the Jackets, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And you know what the reason is? Rest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Why play him?
Exactly.
All right. So no rest when we're talking about the NFL draft. And Louis Riddick went up against Mel Kiper head-to-head this morning on Get Up.
I love Louis Riddick, man. That dude, he seems like a sharp dude, right? He's locked in, obviously, the sport of football. But, yeah, whenever he's talking ball, I'll lock in. I really am a fan of Louis Riddick.
Well, and you probably should be. He's very smooth. He's been around the league for a long time as a player. He's been around it a long time as an executive. Mm-hmm. And now he's looking at an eye in the sky from a media standpoint. And it's not like, and he survived in the league for a long time. It's not like he was drafted very high. He was essentially almost Mr. Irrelevant, I think, back in the day. I'd have to go back and look how close he was to that. But either way, what I like about him this morning is that he was very convicted, because who do they target all the time when he gets stuff wrong? It's Mel Kiper. They make him make all the predictions, and then, all right, when he gets them wrong, let's circle back and say, gotcha. And so I like the fact that Louis Riddick is taking these three quarterbacks and saying, no, this is the guy. Because I'll tell you, the game they were playing today, it was Mel saying, you know, we like them all, we like them all, and you know, you can like them all. You're allowed to like little things about each guy, but you can only draft one. Now, are you going to sit here and tell me that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May all have the same career? It's mathematically not going to happen.
Right.
One guy is going to be better than the others. Mm-hmm. It has to be.
History's shown us that. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so the guy, Washington's going second, or on this program, Washington. So when Washington picks at two, and Jaden Daniels presumably will be there because Caleb will go to the Bears, He skipped the measurements in Indy. He won the Heisman. And then he actually did the pro day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was bigger than they thought he was.
And Keenan Allen actually showed up to the pro day, which I thought was pretty cool. They can get that chemistry going nice and early.
And so Louis is attaching himself to Mr. Daniels.
The thing I love the most about Jaden Daniels is that first and foremost, he's a quarterback that wants to and can beat you from the pocket. He has repeatable throwing mechanics. It always looks the same. The front arm is always tucked in. The feet are always on balance. The arm angles may change depending upon what the throw requires. He's a guy who can throw the ball short, intermediate, deep. He can fire it with velocity or put touch on it and layer it on the second level. What really separates him, though, is the fact that outside of structure, outside of the pocket, he can get there as both a passer and a runner, meaning he can throw on the run, or if he decides to tuck it down, he is out the gate.
Pressure, Daniels escapes again. There he goes. Slippery would be an understatement for Jaden Daniels.
Just turn on the Florida tape. Just look at it here. This is a guy who on quarterback design runs outside the pocket. He can get on the corner and absolutely break all pursuit angles.
Jaden Daniels off to the races. He takes it to the house.
He can take the ball 80 yards in the blink of an eye, which makes him the ultimate weapon at the quarterback position, and why I consider him to be the best quarterback in this draft and the guy who deserves to come off the board first overall.
Wow. All right. So
he's saying,
slippery Pete,
if he was running the show in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
he would not pick Caleb Williams. He would pick Jaden Daniels.
No.
That's the first analyst or anybody that covers the draft, AR, that I've heard be that convicted.
About it. And that's what I like about him, is that he did go all in on him. Not you'll be good with either guy, but I just like him a little better. Mm-hmm. It's not that. Now, he did say today that just because I would pick him, it doesn't mean I don't like Caleb Williams.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course. Why would you? I mean, they're not separated by that much. And in his mind, I don't think they'd even be separated. The Jaden Daniels thing is interesting to me because, and I have to go, how much does Caleb weigh? Is he?
That's a great
both
question.
Both are 215, 220? They can't be.
Mine went to 210. I don't know for Caleb. I don't remember hearing about his weight coming out of the pro day.
The only reason I'm bringing that up is because Jaden, I thought, was going to be around 200, and he actually weighed in at 210. And so he wasn't as slender as they were describing him early coming out of LSU. Now, are there concerns about his durability if he's going to run like that? Of course. But all quarterbacks in the NFL that are good have to run now. You don't want to run all the time, and you don't want him to turn into a Justin Fields where all he's known for right now is his running ability, and that's what makes him so dangerous. But all these guys, I mean, I wouldn't say Jared Goff is a runner. Dak can run, Josh Allen, Purdy can run, we know that. At times, Mahomes for sure, Jordan Love, Stroud now can run because he chooses to, and Baker always could run. Hurts. Well, he can go. What I mean, run. What I don't mean he's like an all-world athlete. What I mean is he can take off.
You lost me.
Don't think he can run?
When you said Baker. I mean, all these guys can run, but can they effectively run?
I don't know if Baker is that guy.
Did you not see his high step run he did against your Vikings?
Yeah. You guys can have that. I don't know if I qualify Baker as a guy that's a real threat with his legs. I don't see that.
Well, I guess I'm drawing the line from threat to he can take off and get you a first down if needed.
I think that's literally every quarterback in the NFL.
Is it? Really?
Yes. That can go probably pick up 2 or 3 yards
if
you need it?
Two or three.
Well, what are we talking about then? Like, are you talking about 10 to 15?
That can
like,
outrun a defender if
needed.
Yeah,
I think literally every quarterback in the NFL could do that. Wow. 2 to 3 yards, pick up a first down. And
2 to 3, yes.
But I'm saying,
can fall forward and get that.
But my whole point, AR, is a 2 to 3 yard run from a quarterback can be very effective. It can be very effective when you're moving the chains. You don't need to have these guys that are ripping off 20. We don't even see that much from the elite guys that are at the quarterback position.
Well, your guy,
that
we do.
Can run. But we don't see it all the time. That's my point. And so for a guy like Baker, while I'm sitting here saying I don't view him as a runner, that doesn't mean he can't be effective with his legs in short situations. You just lost me when you went down the list of guys that I agree with. And then you got the Baker, and I'm like, I don't view him that way. He's a guy that can hurt you from the pocket more times than not. Same thing with Jared Goff. Like, those type of guys, they're just cut from a different cloth. So yes, they can run, but I don't think they're striking their fear in the hearts of defenders the way other guys are when they run with their legs.
I'll buy that. I mean, I view some guys as being more statuesque. Like, they're guys like that, to me, when they run, it just doesn't look like they're even moving. Like, Tom Brady, I know he's old, it's not a good example, but when he ran late in his career, it was like, come on. Like, it was like in slow motion.
Pitch it to somebody.
I actually think Baker had some athletic ability, and maybe that's where I'm going with this. Like, I think he's more of an athlete than some of the other quarterbacks that are playing. Is he fast? No. But I view him as more of an athlete than maybe some of the others. That's all, I guess.
I don't.
He's not an athlete.
I think
he's just a guy playing quarterback.
See, now you're stretching what I'm trying to say.
No.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is Baker Mayfield does not qualify
as an athlete.
As an athletic quarterback. No, he qualifies as a professional athlete, but when we get down to it, he is not that guy. That's never been his game. Ever.
I guess we're watching different games. That's all. I mean, I've seen him run.
I just, when you're a defensive coordinator on the list of things, when you're stopping a Baker Mayfield leg team,
you're not a 4-4 quarterback.
And I don't need him to be that. So you're taking it to the, drastic end of he's got to be a, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when you game plan for Baker, you're not worried about his legs. Like, I'm not. I'm just not. He's not that guy. Now, Baker can thread throws. We saw that this year, but in Tampa this year, defenses ain't worried about Baker Mayfield's legs.
No, but you started out by saying everyone can run, and now I'm not worried about anybody's running ability.
Is every quarterback in the league, I think, can pick up a few yards here and there to help your offense.
Well, yes,
that's what I said.
Of course.
And
they're
so
not like
we can't label,
crawling.
So we can't label every quarterback as athletic because they can do that. Like, no, that's an easy qualifier. Like,
so
that's
how many athletic quarterbacks are there?
I think there's a bunch of them in the league right
now. He's just not one of them.
I just don't view him as a guy that would make me scared as a defense with his legs.
No,
he's not that guy.
Now you took it to the nth degree. I'm saying scared or game planning against. All I'm saying is there are certain guys to me that would qualify on the right side of athleticism. Being an athletic quarterback, being able to run.
Well, I think that bar is pretty low.
Where it comes naturally.
I think that bar is pretty low. If that's the bar, that's pretty low.
No, I've seen him take off.
I'm with you on that, but that's not a strength for him. For other guys, it's an absolute weapon.
And well, let me ask you this. How many guys have that as a weapon?
I'll tell you in pre-snap.
How about that? All right, that's worth it. That's a good tease. We'll do it next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, a little Bet365 time.
Yes, sir, because at Bet365, we don't do ordinary. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5.
All right, a couple games tonight in the NBA. And I don't know whether I want to go prop or regular game. We talked about, and we'll talk about it with Keith Smith coming up, about how badly the Lakers are really going to want to win this game. You know, do they want to avoid Denver? Do you want to play to win? Can you orchestrate the tank here at the end? I wonder if I need to stay away from that. It's too hard to predict. Right now, the last game the run here for the big three with the Warriors, feels like maybe there might be something meaningful there for them. Is there a player prop in that game instead of betting the game? Because I do think betting the game is very unpredictable.
So I'm going with inside the Lakers-Pelicans game,
mm-hmm.
looking at Anthony Davis and the former Buckeye D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell, and their points and assists combined. So I'm going with the over for both. 80s is 27.5. Mm-hmm. Juice on that is minus 115. And D'Angelo Russell's is minus 125. So I'm going to put those together against New Orleans. The Lakers have really dominated New Orleans here recently, so they got to feel good about that matchup, and they got mismatches all over the place. So, yeah, give me the over for both D'Lo and AD and their points and assists tonight.
We got a Chris Paul 3 prop in there somewhere. I don't know.
You want a little CP3 action?
What is his over-under on threes?
I have not seen that yet. I don't know if their game may not be on the board yet. Since we just got the play-in stuff tonight. I don't know if that may be up right now. Let me see what we got for Chris Paul.
Give me a threes.
Threes made for Chris Paul. I am looking at... He is not on the board.
Okay. He's good for, you know... Got to have a couple tonight.
Oh, I'm an idiot. I'm thinking about another game. I'm looking at the wrong game. So that would actually help if I looked at the right game, right? Let's go with Chris Paul made threes tonight. That's an interesting that you would think about him with threes. Let's go Chris Paul. I'm looking at just 1 3. It's always got to hit. The juice on the over is minus 200 and the under is plus 160. So you want to hit the over for that? Chris Paul?
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Let him launch one.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Bet365, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians. Download the Bet365 app today. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
The three big quarterbacks... Well, three quarterbacks, not the big quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy are all visiting the Commanders today.
Okay.
And they're sitting in the two hole, and I can't imagine that they would take J.J. McCarthy over those other two, so I could almost eliminate him. Not that he's going to be bad. He has shown me a lot here. Is he one of those guys? I think he's a little more, he's safer than Drake May, but he wouldn't have the ceiling, and he certainly doesn't have the electricity that Daniels has. I feel like it's almost a no-brainer for Washington to take Daniels and roll the dice on his just crazy athleticism.
So it's just a lot of moving pieces, right, for Washington this offseason. You got a new head coach in Dan Quinn. He comes over from Dallas. You got a new ownership group there. And their GM used to rock out with the San Francisco 49ers. And why that bring that up is because he was a part of the regime that drafted Trey Lance. So when you look at his style of play and how he was talked about coming out of college, some similar traits there maybe with Jaden Daniels. Now, that didn't necessarily work out that well for San Francisco, so maybe he wants to go down a different route. But some of these guys are just comfortable with what they're comfortable with. And since he saw and was a part of that decision-making process in San Francisco when they rolled with Lance, maybe Daniels is more of their guy at two.
Yeah.
And then Dan Quinn, as a defensive head coach, may look at, you know, just the stress a guy like Jaden Daniels can bring to your defense and coaching and go coaching up against some of those guys, specifically a guy like Jalen Hurts over the last year or two down there in the NFC East.
You know, this is the kind of the age-old question. You know, this guy can compete with anybody on the field, freak style with the athleticism. Is he going to turn into an NFL franchise quarterback? That's the trouble. Louis Riddick says he will. I'm talking about Jaden Daniels. Other people say that no, he lacks the zip. He's not dangerous outside the numbers. He is when he's running, but not throwing. And that's if he makes a lot of mistakes in the NFL, those are mistakes you don't come back from in a game. So here we are. Now he's got a lot of seasons under his belt of starting football at a major, you know, program, and so 6'4", 210 certainly passes the look test, although some people thought he'd be a little slender. They worry about his durability like they did with your guy running the football.
Yep.
But here we are. It's a new NFL, and I think this is an easier decision than it used to be.
It's a new NFL, but you still got to get it done from within the pocket. Like, it's a great thing to have when you have these quarterbacks that can really hurt you with their legs, but at the end of the day, that's where the game's going to be won, and especially with the way wide receivers and tight ends and how great that position is and how fruitful it is around the league. Like, that's what you want more times than not. And then you hit them with those backbreakers every once in a while. So the NFC East is interesting when it comes to the quarterback position in the draft, because you just got laying out the whole Washington scenario, but also the Giants at six. Like, where do they go? You got Daniel Jones coming off this ACL injury last year of really heavy guaranteed money for him. And so do they go down? Do they hit the button? Do they hit the quarterback button at six? Part of me thinks you probably should. You probably should. Or does ownership get in the ear of the GM and Brian Daboll and saying, no, we paid Daniel Jones. You guys are going to stick it out with him and see what you can get out of him for one more year. The Giants are very fascinating to me right now with what they want to do and their decision.
I thought they'd build around him. He can't stay healthy.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the problem. I do think he has a little bit of a second act, first act left, Daniel Jones. They put the right team around him. But when you're in that close, when you're in that striking distance of maybe the next guy, then I just don't think, like the Patriots, that the roster is strong enough to support this right now. I would stick it out. And I knowing how many teams are so desperate to come up, I would put a sign out open for business.
You'd get out of there.
I would
pick up picks.
I think I would.
Give Jones one more lap around the track and see what you got there. Brian Daboll, he was coaching in Buffalo. He coached Josh Allen. Obviously, he coached Daniel Jones, two quarterbacks that can really hurt you with their legs. He may be looking at Drake May and like, you know what? If I can't get Jaden Daniels, let me get Drake May. And similar comparisons to Josh Allen, right, where you had this guy coming out of Wyoming that was really raw and the upside was there, just a question mark. And that's the same kind of things you hear about Drake May, is hasn't played a ton of football the last couple years, seems to be a decent level of upside, but you had a little dip in play last year. The running ability is there. I could see him maybe being a fit, or a guy maybe Brian Daboll likes.
Here's the bigger problem. Is Jones going to be ready to go?
Great question.
That's the other problem. And here's the other thing, and this has happened. You can let him sit, whoever you take. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes, let him sit, whoever you take. So I'm not saying I'm completely opposed. All right, real quickly.
Yeah.
What did I want to know? The worst athletes at quarterback or the best?
Here's just the list of guys I cooked up that would strike fear in me if I were a linebacker.
Okay.
Lamar, Jalen, Josh, Kyler, Mahomes, Dak, Bryce Young, Justin Fields / Russell Wilson, Anthony.
Who's still Russ.
Yeah, that's why I put Justin first.
Ooh, maybe and I sanction a running event between Baker and Russ.
Then I've got
two wins. I think Baker would win that.
You think he'd beat him in a 40?
You may be onto something.
I think he would.
You might be onto something there. You might be onto something. And then I've got the guys that are good enough with their legs, but don't scare me. Kirk Cousins, Baker, Carr, Geno, Stafford, and Rodgers. But we're about to infuse three guys into this thing with Caleb Daniels and Drake May that are three more guys that can, I think, really spook you with their legs.
All right. When they were coming out, Russ was a 4.55 guy. Baker was a 4.84 guy. Oh. But I think things have changed.
I think Baker may be able to get him now.
I think he may be able to get him by the nose. I think he can get him now. All right. Those are your pre-snap reads for today. Keith Smith, NBA contributor for Spotrac, jumps on next. Should the Lakers actually lose? We'll get his opinion next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
This promo is brought to you by Common Man and Timmy Hall's Ping Pong Game. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like Yoda, Rothman will limp onto the golf course, talk about how stiff his back is, wonder how he can even make it through a hole, and then proceed to kick your ass. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, there is some drama tonight in the NBA, and there's a lot of strategy. You have two games, Lakers at the Pelicans, Warriors at the Kings, back-to-back on TNT. Both very short favorites. The Warriors are a bucket favorite, and the Pelicans are about a bucket favorite of the Lakers. For more on that, we bring in our friend Keith Smith, NBA contributor for Spotrac, front office show as well. Keith, welcome back.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
So there is a strategy here tonight, and it's not a popular one amongst fans or maybe even coaches or players, because you almost feel like you'd be leaning into some weird karma. Are you in the camp of that the Lakers are better off kind of mailing this one in to avoid Denver, but they'd be guaranteed in the playoffs, and then roll the dice on the play-in between the loser of the other game between the Kings and the Warriors? If you were advising the Lakers, what would you say?
I'd tell them to try to win. You do not play games like this in a single elimination spot, especially knowing on the other side of this, let's say you go out and you throw tonight's game, hoping, all right, well, we get the Thunder. Well, then you may have to go against Stephen Curry or De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, who has had the Lakers number all year long. Like, that just is, I just think that is people with a little too much time galaxy braining things into a conspiracy theory land that I'm not willing to go to. As a kid who grew up in Boston, sure, go ahead, lose the game and lose the next one and don't make the playoffs at all. I'd be thrilled with that. I think that would be wonderful planning.
Oh, man. Sticking with a similar theme, Keith, I got to get your opinion on what you saw the Cavs do this past weekend, because I've heard opinions on both sides of this thing with the way that they approached that last regular season game. So hit us with that. And a two-parter here, your thoughts on now their matchup against a pretty good young and up-and-coming Orlando Magic team.
Yeah, so the first part, I didn't really love that either. To me, you sent a little bit of a message of we're good enough to beat some teams, but not good enough to beat other teams. And that seems like that's not a message I'd want to be telling my guys right before the start of the playoffs. Now, I'm less against it because you're going into a seven-game series, so you should be able to figure things out. But you didn't make your path any easier. So is your whole goal to win one round in the playoffs? Because I would have thought I'd rather go in and take a chance against a Miami Heat team that's not as good as they've been in the past, or a 76ers team with a Joel Embiid that it seems like he's a ticking time bomb on how long he's going to be able to stay on the floor. So I think what I would really look at if I was Cleveland is take that path, then be out of Boston's bracket and see where things go. Instead, it's, hey, we beat Orlando. Great season. Let's go crazy. Like, I don't really get that. Now, as for the matchup, I think this is going to be one of the more competitive first-round series we have, just because I don't think either team is going to handle the other one with ease. The Cavs have a little bit more experience by virtue of having been there last year. They can score a little bit easier than the Magic, but I think this is going to be an ugly rock fight of a series. A lot of, you know, everybody who claimed a month or two ago of, you know, we got to get back to 90s-style basketball, well, here you go. You're probably going to get it in this series.
Let me ask you this. I think they went 2-2 against the Magic this year, if my memory serves me. And it's interesting because the Cavs do have this feel that, okay, we got bullied by New York last year. We're back in as a four. Now we get a team that's maybe a little more happy to be there. From the mentality standpoint, do you give the Cavs the edge?
A little bit, but I can tell you, being here in Orlando where I'm based, nah, this Magic team is not at all happy to be there. They don't get me wrong. They're thrilled with the season they had, but it's not enough. They very much want to win. Now, all that is worth, you know, as much as everybody feels that way, I think. I think the difference is the Cavs now know what it takes to play the same team somewhere between 4 and 7 times over the course of a 2-week period. You're going to know, all right, this is what it means when this worked game one. It's not working in game two because they adjusted to it. What's our counter? What's our attack? How do we adjust to their adjustment? And that I think, gives them a little bit of an advantage. Plus, they just have Paolo Banchero is very good. Franz Wagner is very good. But the Cavs have guys like Donovan Mitchell can almost win a playoff game all by himself. We've seen Darius Garland put up big nights. And Caris LeVert's a guy who can come out and score. So I think they have a little bit more versatility to their scoring attack. Where Orlando, if Banchero and Wagner aren't creating everything, it can really go sideways for them.
So Kyrie Irving, he's always a polarizing figure, and it seems that everything out in Dallas this year has been perfectly fine with he and Luka and just the team as a whole. But Keith, I really like this Dallas team. Just talk about some of the moves they've made and what type of impact you think Luka and company can make in the postseason.
Yeah, let me run around and knock on wood real quick just to cover ourselves with this one. Because, yeah, we haven't had any nonsense from Kyrie. He's just played basketball. And I've said for years, Kyrie, the basketball player, is one of the best in the world. When it's just that, he is great. And he seems to be happy there. Luka and him, after some, you know, bumpiness, which part of it they worked out, you know, in the games they played together last season, the rest they worked out early this year, that they've really figured out. And then their trade deadline acquisitions of Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington came in and gave them 2 starting front court players, pushed a couple other guys into reserve roles who are pretty good guys too, that can also play, which gave them some depth. That gives them the ability to go. I think the Clippers series really comes down to, is Kawhi Leonard healthy and can he be Kawhi? If he can, I think it's more of a coin toss. I think you're in a spot where it is, these two teams are pretty evenly matched, and they're going to go at each other. If Kawhi can't play or if Kawhi can't be Kawhi, I think the Mavericks are going to roll through that one. I think they've got a good chance in the next one, and they could maybe get all the way to the Western Conference Finals, where presumably it would be the Denver Nuggets sitting there waiting for.
Keith, does Milwaukee just play this as it goes a little bit, see how the series starts, see how desperate they have to be against the Pacers, and if they do, maybe Giannis says, I'm going to give it a try at some point. I know the dream is obviously to get through the series without him and let him rest, but what do you anticipate?
Yeah, I think it's a lot like last year against the Miami Heat, where it is, all right, let's hope we can get through this without him, and then they found out, all right, we can't. Giannis came back. He wasn't himself, and that series was over pretty quickly. So I don't think this Pacers team is as good as that Miami Heat team was last year, but I think, you know, this is a tough spot for a second year in a row, and this is, Not that you want to put it all on this, but this is the danger when you build a roster that is so old. I mean, this is the oldest team in the league as far as guys who are playing major, major minutes. And that's really, really tough. It's a lot of guys that you're relying on, and a lot of these guys are relying on Giannis to prop them up in a lot of ways. So they're going to have their hands full with the Pacers. And I got a feeling at some point it's going to be, all right, can you go? Can you give us 25 minutes of something? And that makes me nervous, because if he's not really ready, I don't want to see him out there, because you're talking about, you could run this into an injury that impacts a big part of next season too.
All right, final 15 seconds. You like anybody tonight? Anything specific tonight in these two games? Would you take the home teams? Would you take the Warriors on the road? What do you think?
I think the Pelicans will be better, but I think the Lakers will beat them. Still, I can't imagine they get crushed like they did the other day. And then I'm going to pick the Warriors, too. I'm just going to trust in the, you know, the bets on the Warriors and the Lakers to get it done, you know, in these two games. But I think they're going to be two good, fun games.
All right. Thanks, my man. Enjoy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Keith Smith, NBA contributor, Spotrac front office show. On the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline.
All right, it's time to give away right now a family four-pack of tickets to the 97.1 The Fan Night at the Columbus Fury game on Friday, April 19th, 614-821-9710 is our phone number here. Earlier, we were talking a little bit about Tom Brady, and we played the clip of him saying, hey, you know what? I still got some good ball in me. If you need me, hit me up. Vegas dropped odds on Tom Brady and who his next team could be if he does decide to return. Who was the favorite, according to Vegas? You get that right, CBO hits you up with a family four-pack of tickets to the 97.1 The Fan Night at the Columbus Fury game on Friday, April 19th. Again, our number 614-821-9710.
All right, we'll wrap it up with Tell the Truth next. Rothman and Ice on The Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Are men in bones stupid in real life? Yes. Yes, they are. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks, home of the 29 Degree Draft Beer.
All right, CB, what you got?
All right, real quick. Austin and Columbus knew the correct answer was the odds on favor is those Raiders.
Hey, shout out to you, Austin. Thanks for listening, man. And enjoy the Fury game on Friday night.
All right, first one of today. It's our national day of today, which is National Pajama Day. Or I'm sorry, National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Days, to be specific. My question to you is, they'll tell the truth. If the boss has made you participate in this at the work office today, would you have participated?
Oh, all day and tomorrow. I think this should be a mandate. This should be a must for every company. 3 days a week you get to wear pajamas to work. I'd be all in on that. The comfort level would be through the roof. I don't know how, you know, would work get better if everybody is in pajamas? I don't know. That's not my problem. But I just want everybody to be comfy. So I'm all in on this, CB.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to find out exactly what the pajamas are like, because would they have to be pajamas, I assume, not just whatever you like to sleep in kind of thing.
Yeah, that could go a couple different ways.
Right. So I'm just wondering where we go with all this. It does sound like if there's a loungewear day at the fan, that I would participate.
You know, I think if we do this, I think we'll let you set the rules or parameters on that.
For my own loungewear?
That's exactly right.
CB, you busting out the onesie if they make this happen?
I mean, if that's the parameters he sets, I'll do it.
Okay. I'm thinking about strolling in here Hugh Hefner style, man. Just smoking robe, the whole thing.
Okay. Nothing underneath, huh?
I don't know if he did that, but I feel if he was roaming around the mansion, why not? Easy access.
Oh, man.
You calling me a liar?
Well, I ain't calling you a truther.
All right, with this Rashee Rice incident, I want to ask you about Kansas City and how they approach the draft, especially on Thursday night for the round one next week. My question to you is, tell the truth. Do you think it makes it more imperative for those Chiefs to make a pick early on a wide receiver?
Well, they got Marquise Brown, right?
They did bring in Hollywood. They brought him in.
It is odd, isn't it? That Mahomes is starting to get the Brady treatment. Just make the guys better, will you, Patrick? We don't need to give you stars. Just whoever we throw at you, you'll elevate, just like Brady did. And so far, he's done that. Now, I'm saying that outside of Travis Kelce, who's one of the most reliable weapons
in the
NFL.
But maybe that's his Gronk. That's one way to look at it.
Yeah. It feels that way. Why wouldn't they...
Good question. It really is.
Yeah, they're picking so late, right?
Because, CB, I'm assuming you're asking this because Rashee Rice is going to get suspended. We don't know for how long, but he's probably going to miss some
time. It might be safe to assume that, but you don't know how long.
So like AR said, you do have Hollywood, but that... Here's why I'll say yes at some point. I don't know if it needs to be pick 32, but maybe when you come back around, they're picking 64th, if my math is correct on that, or somewhere in the second round. That, you know what? You grab a guy because the Sky Moores of the world, that hasn't really hit. MVS is now gone. And you do want to, I think, start layering things for the future just a little bit. Still think Travis Kelce can be a dude for you this year, but he is older. He's getting older, obviously, as the days roll along. So I think you want to have a little bit of both going on here. You got that right now talent with Travis Kelce. And I still even believe when Rashee Rice comes back, he can be impactful for them. And we'll see what Hollywood Brown could do. But hey, I wouldn't be mad at all if they went and scooped up a receiver.
Their history says they won't. The Rashee Rice thing throws a complete wrench into this thing for me.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and look at some of their receivers, the guys that they did pick early never really made a massive impact for them. Sammy Watkins, Jeremy Maclin, those guys didn't turn out to be the guys they thought. Guess where they found Tyreek Hill? Fifth round. Guess where they found Mecole Hardman? Was he second? I think somewhere around there. And some other guys. So they have had receivers that they've just elevated. So this would go against their history of taking first-round receivers because they really don't need to. But the Rice thing does figure in. If there's a guy that's there, if that is McConkey going to be there at 31?
Maybe, or Leggett from South Carolina, or some of those guys at the back end. Maybe so. The other thing, too, that's a bit of a need for them is they lost L'Jarius Sneed to Tennessee, a corner that was really good, so maybe they go there. But, yeah, CB, I think it's something they should consider for sure.
The truth? It's overrated.
All right, continuing on that topic with the draft, we've seen it in a lot of different places, Cleveland, Vegas, Nashville. What other cities, though, that host NFL teams would you like to see the draft go to?
I mean, honestly, none of this
mind. Let's look at this in the view of you're going to the draft.
Okay. Little vacation / draft.
Exactly.
Go to Miami.
That's a little better.
Can't go wrong in Miami. I think Houston would be fun for me. The scene down in Houston, me personally, I'd enjoy Houston.
You know, it's always springtime, so we don't really have to worry about the Midwestern bad weather cities. We've had it in Cleveland. We've had it in KC last year, Detroit this year. I can't remember it being in many lately.
My mind always goes to food when CB puts it like that. Like, where can I eat? Have a good time. Nightlife maybe popping off, you know. Maybe go take some ones out of the ATM. You know, you never know.
I think anywhere in somewhere out in Cali might work for me.
Okay.
San Francisco area.
Oh, okay. Go to the Bay? Want to go to the Bay?
That'd be it. Right. Yeah. Live over there at Fisherman's Wharf.
It's chilly this time of year. They warm it up.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. The coldest winter I ever spent was the summer in San Francisco.
Oh, man. Before we leave, if you miss Ben Brown talking all things NFL, Luke Braun talking Minnesota Vikings and maybe their plan when we get to the draft next week, and Keith Smith just hit us with an NBA playoff preview. Wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. Those interviews and a lot more will be waiting for you. And don't forget to subscribe to the Rothman and Ice podcast as well.
Yeah. Final seconds. Want to wish Jeff Rimmer an outstanding broadcast tonight. His final one for the Jackets. Go get him, Rims. This is your night. You deserve it. We will talk to you guys tomorrow at high noon. We'll make room for Conman and Tebow next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling from Go 1-800-GAMBLER. Day one of the NBA playoffs starts today. Here are your NBA championship odds heading into the postseason. The Celtics are plus 165 with the Nuggets plus 295. Then a huge drop-off. You'll find the Clippers at 12-1. Bucks are 13-1. Thunder 14-1 and Mavs 15-1 at Tipico. Cavs come in at 50-1 to win the NBA championship. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Keels. The Blue Jackets close out their season tonight, hosting playoff-bound Carolina. 7 o'clock face-off here on the Fan. Jet Greaves will be in goal, and newly signed right wing Gavin Brindley will make his NHL debut. The Buffalo Sabres were missing the playoffs for an NHL record 13th consecutive season. Today, dismissed head coach Don Granato. From college football, according to reports, Ohio State redshirt freshman safety Cedric Hawkins plans to enter the transfer portal. University of Michigan given 3 years probation, fines, and recruiting restrictions for NCAA recruiting violations during the COVID-19 dead period. This is unrelated to the sign-stealing investigation. Baseball, Cleveland Guardians at Boston, Cincinnati Reds in Seattle, and the Clippers at home of Buffalo tonight. This update brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Earn a $200 cash bonus when you open a new free checking account at BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit BMIFCU.org/free. Breaking sports news when it happens on the Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.